brethren, and to worship our Lord and Savior, and sing these praises to His name. I want to thank Josh for those songs, and I did ask him to sing that when we just sung there, and take time to be holy. And it goes a little bit with my lesson that we're going to be speaking about here this morning. And this morning's sermon here, I've got it from my brother Ryan Hasty in Auburn, Alabama. We didn't know he was out of town last week, and that's where we was worshiping with the brethren there. And he presented this lesson here that really, we really loved a lot. My whole family actually enjoyed this whole lesson. And so I'm taking his lesson and using a lot of it, what he had, a lot of main points he had in presenting this lesson. Something I think that we all need to think about. Here we have, he titled it actually McChurch, but I've actually just titled it Have It My Way Mentality. And we know, talked a lot about the world around us does have a big influence on us. And I really don't think that we have a lot of problems here with this mentality yet here, but we're still a young congregation and we need to be careful that we don't allow these things to creep in, or we don't allow even ourselves to ever get this type of mentality that we're going to be talking about this morning. And have it my way. And so in this, I want us to think about the fast food industry. You think about how it is. And when he presented this lesson the other day and I heard it, I realized, you know, I think he's right. It is having a hurting on our culture and even on our churches today. Trying to please everybody is what a lot of churches are trying to do now. You think about even prepared meals then. Talking about maybe many years ago to now. We all know how the fast food is. It's so easy to go get some food quick. It's even so quick to even buy a lot of meals. It's already prepared. Don't take near the time to prepare them. But you think about the days back. I still think about my wife's grandma, Mr. Donnie's mother. We watching her prepare meals and doing things, and as we all probably see all our grandmothers and old ones doing. But I remember, I think it was back in 07 when the fires got so bad, we actually stayed a couple of days with her. She had some work she wanted me to do on a little shed out back. And so we stayed there a couple of days with her because the smoke was so bad, and Melissa was actually pregnant. She got up real early in the morning and had a fine breakfast that morning when we got up. Took her quite a while to prepare this breakfast. This was nothing fast food. This was good home-cooked meal. Then I went out to do some work on her shelter that day, and it didn't seem like very long. It went by, and they done called me in for lunch. And she had a big spread laid out for lunch already. And as soon as breakfast was over with, she was done preparing a meal for lunch that day. Just kind of going along and set our mindset on how meals was back then and how the preparation that went behind it. A lot of work was in putting meals together back then. And now our meals, we've got our mentality now. We want it now. And we want it quick. When we go to a fast food restaurant, we don't want to sit down for 30 minutes to prepare a meal. We go in there and we want it, and we want it now. That's how society we've got into now, is give it to me now. Give it to me my way. And so, this fast food thing, these pre-ready meals that it's we have now to work prepare meals, and more so than now, it's so easy to get our food now. Fast food is very tempting to us. It's very tasty, a lot of it. And it's good in this hustle and bustle society, this fast, rushing life that we have around us, getting so fast and crazy, and we get so caught up in these things, so that's how we want everything. The fast food restaurants are cashing in on this industry here that we're talking about. They're cashing in on this industry here of trying to draw more and more people in as the competition gets a little bit more stiffer. They're trying all they can do to get their customers in. To have it your way. Be quicker than others. Using all kinds of strategies to draw people in. But the sad thing is, we are seeing the same mentality in the churches. And that's what we're going to be concentrating on today. And so forth. That's where he got his title, McChurch. So the McDonald's, you got people trying to be like McDonald's, and they have churches out there today that's trying to please everybody and do everything to draw people in. So we're going to be talking about first here, this casual and quick, convenient type mentality. That's where I had Lawton Reed there in 1 Kings 12. verse 25. Y'all will get your Bibles and open them there to 1 Kings chapter 12. We're going to be looking here first to pull out something here. In 1 Kings there, starting in verse 25, here we got Jeroboam here. We know here the kingdom now is split. And Jeroboam here, in the north, we got Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. Also he went out from there and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to the Lord, Rehoboam king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam king of Judah. So he's realizing now, if these people go back to Jerusalem where they're supposed to go, where they're supposed to worship God, how they're supposed to do these things, if they go back there, then I may have problems. Their heart may turn back to God. Then they may come kill me. Therefore, the king asked advice, and he made two calves of gold, and said to the people here, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here's the part I want us to concentrate on. He said, here it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. That's kind of the attitude of a lot of people. It's too much. Let's make it a little bit easier. Let's make it more convenient. Let's make it simpler on ourselves. Let's make it attractive for many people. And so that's here what Rehoboam here has done. He said, here are your gods here. He said, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin. For the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places. He made priests from every class of people who were not the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel he installed the priests of the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burned incense. And here the people done these things. Hey, more convenient. Ain't this a good thing? I don't have to go near as far. We got this closer here. We can do that. He's even made up his own days when they're going to have these feasts. Well, that's what we're talking about here today. This type of attitude is very attractive to many people. And here I heard Brother Ryan Hasty mention, he said he got a quote from a mega church. And this is the quote from it. It says, we are the church for those who don't do church. We got churches that are doing this. We are the church for those who don't do church. He says some even bragged on about 30-minute worship. We'll get you in and out in 30 minutes. Like it's a quick oil change. Come in, we'll service you and get you back out of here and you're on your way. That's the mentality that is getting in the churches. And something we've got to be careful here, and we've got to be on guard about, and we've got to learn to teach others. That is not how we worship our God. This is not the attitude that we can have when it comes to worshiping our Lord and our Savior. This is not McDonald's here. This is not have it your way. What happened to that take time to be holy as we just sung about? Take time to be holy. What happened to that? Mentality, if we ain't careful, will come in on us where we want to hurry up, give it to me, let me go. Hurry up, let's get done. No longer really realizing what we're here about and what we're for. And we coming together as the Lord's people, coming together for a reason. If you will, coming back to Exodus now. In Exodus chapter 19. We need to really understand this type of thing, and we need to realize that we cannot let this attitude, this mentality, come in on us. Exodus 19, if you will start with me reading verse 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. And let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around you, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an iron, whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes, and he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Here, we're talking about here in the Old Testament here, when they're coming before God here, how they come into God prepared. They come into God prepared here. It's not an attitude, a nonchalant attitude, a casual attitude. Oh, let's go before God. This is an attitude of realizing you're coming before God here, that you need to be prepared to come before your God. This ain't something we take casual. This is nothing we take lightly. This is being prepared. He even told them to be ready on that third day. When we come before our Lord and our Savior, on these times we come together to worship. Think about even today when we come together on the first day of the week, as we've been commanded to come together, and what a privilege it is to do what we do today. Coming together as brethren to worship Him. Are we ready to do that on this day? Or is it a hustle and bustle for us to get here? When we get here, we're so wore out that we're distracted and not even able to worship our Lord the way He has. And what He has desired for us to worship Him. We need to make for certain that these attitudes are not in us. Instead of coming before God and saying, "Here I am, hurry up and give it to me." That's the attitude that these churches' attitudes have, these attitudes the church has got now. Hurry up, here I am. Get me in and out. Get me out of here. That is never the attitude we should have as a child of God. Do we realize on who we're coming here before and what we're here for? Where does this mentality come from, though? I believe it does come from our culture. I believe it does come a lot of what we have around us, including the fast food industry and other things that we have now. Now things are so much easier and faster for us. We want it quick. Many would love, I think, to come to church in a drive-thru. Give me mine and a bag to go. People would love that. They're coming up with all kinds of churches now. They drive up in their Harleys. They have their churches here. I mean, people's coming up with all kinds of ideas. Why? That's what people are wanting. They're wanting simple. They're wanting fast. They're wanting, do it my way. We don't come before the Lord to tell Him we're going to worship You the way we want to worship You, God. We better not ever have that attitude or ever let this attitude come in on us. We've all probably seen many who will come, maybe even for the Lord's Supper. And as soon as it's over with, out the door, fast as they can go. We've seen many of them. I know I've seen many who come in and do that. As soon as the Lord's Supper's over, they're gone. They got what they wanted, they're gone. That is not the attitude that we're to have. Do we realize that this is our God? This is our Lord and our Savior. Without Him, we have no hope. Without Him, we are nothing. He is someone to be reverent to. He is someone to be feared. We shouldn't come casual wanting to be served. How we come before God should be different than how we go to McDonald's. Yeah, we might go to McDonald's all casual, flip-flop, t-shirt. However we look, dirty, it don't matter. We just go to McDonald's, get us a quick bite to eat. When we come before God, that's not how we come before our God. That's not how we come before God to worship Him. We need to be prepared when we come before our God. It's the attitude that we need to have of being prepared. Not taking this thing lightly. Don't let the mentality around us in the world influence us. Psalms 95. If you will turn me to Psalms 95. We're going to read here a few verses here. To kind of understand a little bit how we need to be when we come before our God. The worship here is not about us. We need to remember these things. In Psalms 95. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." When we come before our Lord God, we need to realize who He is and what we're here for, and it is not for ourselves. We need to be careful in realizing what worship really is. It is about God, and it is not about us. But many come with the fast food mentality, giving reviews on their service. They sit back like they're judging some game show or something, giving reviews on a service. "Well, it took too long to serve me, and it didn't do much for me." When you all realize you get about what you get out of something. Many here come with that mentality, the church that we see in the world. That's what the world has. A lot of them that's coming together, these churches, they're coming together with a mentality not to, how can I serve God, how can I serve others, but what do you got for me? So churches begin to satisfy members. We see this all around us, many churches, and even the Lord's churches now. They're falling. Beginning to try to satisfy members as customers. The members are not customers here of this. We come to church. We are members of the Lord's body. And so they're trying to satisfy here the members instead of pleasing God as they should. With that mentality, what else would you like with that? Would you like fries with that burger? That's not the mentality that we should ever have when we come before our Lord. That is not what we're here for. In Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Do we realize that? Do we realize that we want to do that? We want to come together. We want to consider one another. We want to stir up each other in love and good works. We don't come here for somebody to give us something, to serve us, give us something on a platter where we can go. Do we come with this attitude wanting to serve God? Or do we come with this attitude wanting to be served ourselves? We need to be realizing that we're here to serve. Serve God and serve others. We don't need to become looking to be served. Here's an old preacher story. He actually mentioned in his lesson I've never heard before, and it's very good. This is an old preacher story. Been probably around for quite a while. But it's this family's mentality on worship. He says when the worship was over, they're driving home, and the husband says, "Well, the preacher, he was way too long." And the wife says, "Yeah, and the singing was way off key. I didn't even get nothing out of it." And the teenage son says, "Yeah, and the prayer, the man was leading the prayer, went way too long, drugged that out way too long." The teenage daughter said, "Did you see the guy that's serving Lord's Supper table? That was a hideous tie he had on." And then the young son said, "I think it's a pretty good show for a dollar." And that's the mentality of a lot of people, though. It's a show to them. It's just a show when we come here before the Lord. They don't have nothing to offer me. Or it's a show. We don't come here for a show. We come here to worship God and to serve Him and realizing who He is. And I hope this isn't never an attitude that we're ever going to have here of that type of service. This is our worship to God, and we should be wanting to serve God and serve others, and that should be our desire. We should have that desire. How can I help and encourage others? How can I truly serve God? How can I make this worship service as God would have me to do? Real worshipers, don't you think about it? Real worshipers are not consumers. We're not consumers here consuming the things here for the worship service. When we come together, our worship service is, we're not as one who is consuming something. It's us who are giving something. And we are have certain ways that we do those things. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, we all know that let all things be done decently and in order. We have an order and things to be done. That's how things must be done. And Paul even writes, I think we're talking about 1 Timothy and Tuesday, and I'm in chapter 3 there, where Paul says, "I write these things so that you know how may know how to conduct yourselves in the house of God." There is a way to conduct ourselves in the house of God. Do we realize that? It's not coming here casual. It's convenient. It's quick. There's a way that we act when we come together, and it's not the attitude that we see in the world. Do not let that attitude be in us. This is not something we come together casual as. This is something we take serious. The market strategy here that we have for the fast food industry, they're competing like we talked about, competing hard to try to draw people in, to draw others in. They're using whatever means they can. They're putting up playgrounds. Ain't this very convenient for us as parents? We all know that. Go to Chick-fil-A, the kids can go in there and play in the playground. Makes it a lot easier for us to enjoy our meal. They got something for everybody. They've been putting toys in the meals for the kids. They got entertainment a lot of places. They're doing whatever they can to draw people in. That's their business. Churches are not to do this. Churches does not have the authority to do what they want, right? To do other things, to spread something else out there or to open things else up to draw people in. Brethren, all we have to offer people is the gospel of Christ. Do we realize that? And that is something, the most powerful thing out there in the world. If the gospel of Christ will not draw them, what good is it to draw somebody with a playground? What good's it done? The gospel of Christ will bring them out of that world of darkness into His marvelous light. The gospel of Christ saves us. It will help deliver our soul from hell. That playground will do nothing for us. Or a good youth program, which I heard many people, that's what they want. It's got to have something for my kids to do. Got to have something for this. Do we realize what church is about? Do we realize what we're here for? We've got to realize, don't let this mentality that we see around us in the world come on us. Many are no longer using the gospel of Christ to appeal to others. They're using many other things. Hebrews. We'll turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Brethren, we need to take heed to these things. We must serve God acceptably. So what does that mean? Well, that definitely tells us there is a way to serve God unacceptably. We don't go to man, we don't go to ourselves, we definitely don't go to our own desires to say, well, you know, I think God will want this. And you think, I think people in the world would rather have this than want to have God, and they definitely would, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. Brethren, we have nothing else to offer except the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we talked about in our class today, as Brother Rick mentioned, I have no right and you have no right to change that gospel. We have nothing else to offer but what our Lord has given us here. And when we come together before God, we need to realize it's not for us. Give me something. No, we're coming here to worship God. With that mentality, what can I give in my service to my Lord? We need to serve God acceptably. Think about even Paul. What did Paul use to teach the gospel with? Did Paul come bringing some fancy words and something very good to tickle their ears? Now, don't you look with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians. Let's look back at that and understand here what even Paul was trying to tell them of what he brought them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of no effect." Then he says in verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." You realize here what he's telling us here. He did not come with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Brethren, when we start throwing all things, you start having that mentality of the world, and you start throwing all those things in, then you've made the cross of Christ of no effect. You made it to no good. We have God's Word to present, and that is what we are to present. If you would look on even into the next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Brethren, we don't turn to men to get this wisdom. We don't turn to men to get things to try to draw more people in. Brethren, our Lord has given us something that is more powerful than anything else. He's given us His Word. Brethren, if somebody does not want to accept God and His Word here, and they're rejecting Christ, there's nothing else we can give them. There's nothing else. We need to make sure that we are striving to please God and we're not striving to please men. The last point I wanted to draw in this lesson is about junk food. The things that we're talking about here in this fast food mentality type deal, especially with McDonald's and different ones. We got this junk food. It's not real food. He presented in his lesson the Big Mac and fries. You know, it has 60 grams. This Big Mac and large fries has 60 grams of fat. You know, the FDA says that's enough fat to last us 43 days. 43 days, that's enough fat to last us. Why? And you know, you lay this food out. This is not organic food. This is not real food. You lay it out, and it'll stay there for 120 days and don't look a whole lot different than it did from day one. Why is that? You put a regular food out there, it's going to rot. It's going to go over 2 days because it's real. There's so much preservatives and other things in this food that it's no longer organic. It's no longer the real food there. It is not good for our physical growth, but it is quick. It is convenient. Hey, it's very tasty, ain't it? We've all ate there. We've all ate these things. It's very good and very tasty. I don't mean it's good for us. Compare that now, what I'm talking about is to our being fed spiritually. We need to think about these things. The things that we're being fed spiritually, is it fake? Is it something very quick and enticing? Very good to our ears? Well, that's what most people want, do they not? There's a lot of things that we can take to people out there in the world. Oh, they will love it. We can offer a lot of things here. We can be adding on, building this place up, making it a lot, but we'll no longer be the church of God. We'll be the church of men. People want to be enticed. They want things that'll tickle their ears. We all know the Scripture. If y'all would, though, turn with me to 2 Timothy there. We'll read that there. 2 Timothy. We can understand here of those things. They were pre-warned. Paul pre-warns Timothy here by the Holy Spirit there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 there, starting in verse 3. He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." It's by their own desires here, he said, that they will be turned away from the truth here. Their own selfish desires. Think about what we're talking about already. That's what people want. Their selfish desires. Me. What do you have for me? What do you have to offer me? How fast are you going to get me in and get me out? Is this going to benefit me? You're going to make me feel good when I walk out them doors. It's not about what can I do for God. What can I do for others? How can I serve my God as He would have me? The selfish desires should never be in us. But it is coming into our churches, and we have to be careful of it. Just give me what I want attitude. I don't care if it's junk. I don't care if it's watered down, whatever, give it to me. If it feels good, I want it. That's how we are a lot of times with food. If it's deep fried in something, we'll eat it, no matter what it is. You deep fry that thing, it tastes good. I want it. Well, people are like that with the Word of God. Water it down. Dilute it down. Make it taste good. Make it taste a little better than what it really is, and let me have it. We've got to be careful. But it's not the truth when we do that. We don't want to be those that we just read about here. We don't want to be the ones here that are itching, having itching ears here. We're heaping up teachers for ourselves to teach us something to make us feel good. Well, it's all nice to get here and somebody give us a good pep talk. God's Word is guiding us for a reason. Because it's guiding us and making us like Him. Like He would have us to be. To be His special people. Brethren, do we really want to be His special people? I think we do here, and I think we all need to stay on this track to make for certain that we're going to continue to worship God the way He realizes. And when we come in here to worship God, we realize that we're not coming here for ourselves. We're coming here to worship God and to strengthen others and build one another up, to encourage one another. It ain't for give me, give me, give me. Think about these things. Paul told Timothy here how to handle this situation too, right before that in verse 2 there. In 2 Timothy 4:2, he said, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." Do we realize that? God's Word does these things for us. We do realize 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction into righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." And it's a great thing it is. We need to realize how great that is that He has given us His Word for these things. God gave us what we need, brethren. Realize that. God gave us what we need. And God loved us enough to give us His Son. And God's Word, the true gospel, is what makes us into that faithful and wise servant. And it is only that faithful and wise servant that will be able to enter into that home that our Lord has prepared for us. Or, we can take that watered-down truth, we can take that feel-good type of mentality, that give-me-what-I-want type of mentality, and that will turn you into the wicked and slothful servant who will have no part with our Lord and Savior. We need to be careful of these things, and don't ever let these mentality come upon us. But realize it's out there. It's all around us in the world. That's what the world wants. But we ain't the world. We're no longer in the world. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We are a special people. Because we are children of God. And realizing that when we come here, realizing what we're coming here for, this is a serious matter. We come before our God. We need to come before Him with reverence and fear. Realizing Him that He has laid out for us those things. Let's just follow those things. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, it says, "A newborn babe desired the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Brethren, that's what we need to be growing thereby. Not that fake, watered-down gospel, not something that's been twisted and misconstrued that feels good to us, but brethren, we want to grow by the pure milk of the Word. And then we all know Psalm 119, 105, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That's what's going to guide us. That's what we can put trust in. That's what we need to be realizing. Just don't ever let this mentality that we've been talking about here this morning, do not let this mentality of have it your way mentality come into us. Or coming in here realizing that, hey, just give it to me where I can go. Realizing we're coming here for a purpose of worshiping our Lord and Savior. We're not coming here to have something our way. God has laid out for us how He wants us to worship Him and how we are to worship Him and how we're to come before Him. It is something we need to realize when we come before God. We come before Him with our best. We come before being prepared. We come before Him realizing He is holy and He requires us to be holy. Remember those things. I hope I've helped you. I've enjoyed this lesson. If I heard it, I probably didn't present it nowhere near as well, Brother Ryan Hasty. But I love this lesson. I hope it encouraged me and I hope it helps me to be on the guard for these things. Realizing even don't let this mentality even come in my mindset. Brethren, don't let it come in none of us. But we do pray that there be some here that has not become a child of God. You have that opportunity now. You have that opportunity now. If we can help you in that, we want to help you. Maybe some here need prayer to the congregation. We want to help you as well. But whatever we can do to help you, we bid you come now. We stand to sing the song that's been selected.